This is 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville's news and talk.
Live team coverage starts now.
Good morning. It's 10:30. I'm Stephen Ponson. Our top story is breaking news. In a historic decision, the Supreme Court is overturning Roe versus Wade, paving the way for states to ban abortions. Fox's Grinnell Scott has all the details.
The high court's decision made just moments ago was 6-3 along ideological lines on one specific case, Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization. Now, the ruling says a Mississippi law banning most abortions after 15 weeks of pregnancy is constitutional. That ruling removes limits on pre-viability abortions and essentially, by proxy, overturns the 1973 Roe versus Wade and 1998 Casey versus Planned Parenthood decisions. Now, here's what that means. The immediate effect is going to be felt in 13 states that have so-called trigger bans. What that means is if Roe is no more, they have bans that will immediately go into effect that either severely limit or ban abortion. It's anticipated that some 26 states will move immediately in their state legislatures to ban abortions or severely limit them. So we expect to see movement pretty quickly as Roe versus Wade is now overturned by the decision in the Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization case by the United States Supreme Court.
Now, a lot of information is developing this hour, and we've got all the developing details for you on this story right now in the free WOKV app and also updated in real time at WOKV.com. WOKV News Time's now 10:32. Coming up, we're going to take a look at your drive over the Dames Point Bridge and then more reaction to SCOTUS overturning Roe versus Wade on the Brian Kilmeade Show next. Good afternoon. It is 2:30. I'm Stephen Ponson. Our top story, from God Save the Queen to God Save the King.
The death of Her Majesty the Queen is a huge shock to the nation.
Queen Elizabeth II's dead at the age of 96 after 70 years on the throne. New Prime Minister Liz Truss says the Queen was the rock on which modern Britain was built.
Our country has grown and flourished under her reign. Britain is the great country it is today because of her.
Britain's new king, formerly known as Prince Charles, says the Queen's death is a moment of great sadness for him and the royal family. Team coverage now. The White House is reacting to the news. Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre says the U.S. extends its condolences.
Our hearts and our thoughts go to the family members of the Queen, goes to the people of the United Kingdom.
She says President Biden will speak about the Queen's passing sometime later today. The Jacksonville Sheriff's Office is moving to fire one of its officers after his arrest.
Undersheriff Nick Burgo says a JSO police officer is facing felony charges for official misconduct and grand theft.
So on the 18th of August, our Integrity and Special Investigations Unit was notified about a criminal case against police officer Donzalo Solomon.
According to investigators, Solomon was providing his services for a private security company and allegedly was not working while still charging the company for his services. Falika Botnagar, 104.5 WOKV.
WOKV News Time now, 2:32. Coming up, we're going to take a look at your drive if you're headed out to Orange Park, and then more of the Mark Kay Show next.
Now, the three big things you need to know, powered by Safe Touch Security.
Nearly every state has either lifted their mask mandate or have given an end date, and yet there is still no update from the CDC on its guidelines. That could happen this week, though. The Supreme Court has agreed to hear a case involving a Colorado web designer who says her religious beliefs prevent her from offering wedding website services to same-sex couples.
One.
Jacksonville Beach police say the reward money for information leading to the arrest of a person responsible for the killing of a father of four nearly a week ago is now at $8,000. It's 8:07. I'm Stephen Ponson.
Now, the WOKV First Alert Storm Center, tracking Hurricane Ian.
Good afternoon. It is 3 o'clock. I'm Stephen Ponson. Our top story is Ian, of course. Tropical storm warnings now cover most of northeast Florida as the storm is pushing into the southeastern portion of the Gulf of Mexico and getting stronger. Action News Jax chief meteorologist Mike Burrish says we'll start to feel fringe impacts starting late tomorrow, and we'll start to feel the most significant impacts Thursday and Friday with bands of heavy rain, gusty winds, isolated tornadoes, and the potential for localized flooding.
Rainfall amounts look to average as much as 6 to 12 inches locally more for Jacksonville and areas near and south of Interstate 10 and east of Interstate 95.
Now, wind gusts look to average between 30 to 50 miles per hour with sustained winds between 20 to 30 miles per hour. As always, you can get the latest in Talk in the Tropics with Mike updated every day in the free WOKV app. In St. Johns County, officials are calling for evacuations. Starting at 6 tomorrow morning, Zones A, B, and that includes all of the city of St. Augustine, and Zone F, south of County Road 214, will need to start evacuating.
We want to encourage you to leave today. If you've got the ability to and you're prepared, leave today. If you're not able to, get prepared and get ready to go tomorrow.
Three shelters are going to be opening tomorrow starting at noon at Passetti Bay Middle School, which will be a special needs shelter, Southwinds Elementary. That's going to be pet friendly, and Pedro Menendez High School. Now to the west in Clay County, just a few moments ago, officials gave an update, and starting tomorrow at noon, zones A, B, C, and then the north prong and south prong of the Black Creek will be evacuated. Those evacuation orders have been given since flooding is expected in the county. Now, that was a lot of information, and we've got all of this outlined for you right now at WOKV.com. WOKV News Time now, 3:02. Coming up, we're going to get you an update if you're leaving the Arlington area, and then the start of the Sean Hannity Show next.
Here's the latest from the WOKV First Alert Storm Center, tracking Hurricane Ian.
It is 8:18. Good evening, and thank you for listening to WOKV this evening. We're continuing our coverage of Hurricane Ian, and right now we have the chief, Action News Jax, chief meteorologist Mike Burrish. Had some delicious-looking food there.
It was good.
How was it?
At this point, anything would be good.
That's a fair point. So it's 8:18. We got the latest update from the National Hurricane Center at 8 o'clock this evening. So, you know, break it down for us. What do we need to know with this latest update?
Well, and we talked about it with Rich a few hours ago with the upgrade to a hurricane, that's not real significant in our world for Jacksonville and northeastern Florida. It's not headed back our way. It's not any bigger or stronger, really, than it was. It was a 70-mile-an-hour tropical storm. Now it's a 75-mile-per-hour hurricane. It's still 100-plus miles off our shore when it makes its closest approach from the east, which is going to be around 1 to 3 o'clock in the morning, give or take, a little bit after midnight. On the backside of Ian, it's drawing in some really cool air. We'll continue the gusty winds to the early morning, and then gradually those will diminish through the day tomorrow. Skies will break out into some sun, but we still have to deal with high tide coming up here in a few hours. At midnight up and down our coast, that'll cause some more flooding, and in some cases pretty extensive flooding, similar to what we had with the high tide cycle at noon, especially for areas like Amelia Island, Fernandina Beach, where a wind out of the northwest causes water to come back across those areas. We will then finally see those tides coming down with each high tide cycle gradually tomorrow. Now, the river will be impacted by the real heavy rain that occurred, the historical rain, the way it appears now, between Orlando and Daytona Beach. And that water's got to go through the river system, and it will. It won't be a big surge. It'll be gradual, but it will cause higher than average high tides as well through downtown Jacksonville and much of Duval County, Clay County, St. Johns County, probably through at least next week, causing some minor flooding each high tide cycle.
Give us kind of a time frame. How long do you think that could last? How long do you think the water is going to take to actually get up here to northeast Florida?
Good question. Let's begin with the coast, where the water didn't, after the high tide in St. Augustine at about 11:30 this morning, the water didn't fully go down until about 5 or 5:30 this afternoon. And it'll take a while to get out again tonight.
This is 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville's news and talk.
Live team coverage starts now.
Good afternoon. It's 2 o'clock. I'm Stephen Ponson. Our top story. Hope you enjoy the cooler weather today. Now that Ian is gone from northeast Florida, Action News Jax chief meteorologist Mike Burrish says all the rainfall Ian dropped in central Florida and the St. Johns River Basin will lead to some flooding along the river, especially at times of high tide.
Now, it'll be mostly minor along the St. Johns River in Duval County, but it'll be kind of inconvenient and could be a little bit more significant for parts of Clay and St. Johns County, especially again at times of high tide.
Mike says the increased chance for flooding along the river is expected to last through the weekend and into next week. Out at the beaches, Mike says it'll be a surfer's delight with winds out of the west, but the best advice is to stay out of the water since there is a rip current risk. In St. Johns County, beaches remain closed through tomorrow when minor flooding can be expected at times of high tide. Overall, the county's emergency management stayed very busy throughout the peak of the storm.
It was a couple dozen rescues of folks that, water started rising and they became frightened.
Kelly Wilson says no injuries or fatalities were reported throughout the county. And over to Clay County, all evacuation orders are now over and shelters closed. Emergency Management Director John Ward says the county was spared from a big hit from this storm.
We were very lucky with this system, but I just want to say we have a month left in hurricane season. Please don't let your guard down. Keep your preparedness kits ready and keep your family plant in place at all times.
The county says all solid waste facilities will be closed today, but tomorrow the Rosemary Hill facility will be accepting residential yard waste at no charge through October 11th. WOKV News Time now, 2:02. Coming up, we're going to take a look at your drive if you're headed through Ocean Way, and then more of the Mark Kay Show next. Good afternoon. It's 3:30. I'm Stephen Ponson. Our top story is breaking news. He wanted to hold her hostage and break her kneecaps. That's what police say the suspect accused of attacking the husband of House Speaker Nancy Pelosi last week told them after he was in custody. Fox's Jared Halpern has more.
When San Francisco police officers restrained David DePappy, they discovered he was in possession of tape, rope, a second hammer, zip ties, and a pair of rubber and cloth gloves. DePappy is accused of breaking into the home of House Speaker Nancy Pelosi in the early morning hours last Friday and severely injuring her husband Paul Pelosi with a hammer.
DePappy's charged with two federal charges with assault of a family member of a U.S. official and attempted kidnapping of a U.S. official. An armed suspect may have been hungry during this robbery in the Dinsmore area. JSO responded to the Dollar General on New Kings Road around 8 this morning after a suspect walked in, demanded cash, and took off on a bicycle with $60, a Mountain Dew, and some Oreos. An off-duty officer in the area heard the dispatch call and saw the suspect but lost sight after he entered a wooden area. Later, the robber was located and arrested. The bike and merchandise were also recovered.
I'm going to buy like a villa and a mansion and a yacht.
Buy my parents a home and all that good stuff.
Many are dreaming big of winning the Powerball.
Tonight's jackpot growing to an estimated over $1 billion with a lump sum payment. Still life-changing at around $500 million. This is the second largest Powerball jackpot ever after three winning tickets from California, Florida, and Tennessee split over $1.5 billion in 2016. Jeff Manasso, Fox News.
WOKV News Time now, 3:32. Coming up, we're going to get you an update on your drive if you're headed into Mandarin. And then more of the Sean Hannity Show next.
This is 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville's news and talk.
Live team coverage starts now.
Good evening. It's 8 o'clock. I'm Stephen Ponson. Our top local story is breaking news. Republican Nick Howland is the projected winner over Democrat Tracy Polson in the special election to fill the vacant Jacksonville City Council seat. Now, here's how the WOKV election desk came to this conclusion. There are roughly 821 ballots to be counted, and Howland holds a lead of more than 5,000 votes. Those numbers are from the Duval Supervisor of Elections office. Overall turnout was a little north of 20%, which is better than what the Supervisor of Elections office had predicted just yesterday. You can follow along with the live election results at WOKV.com. After President Biden said a Russian invasion of Ukraine has begun, the U.S. is hitting Russia with economic sanctions and moving troops already in Europe to help protect NATO allies in the Baltic states.
Estonia, Lithuania, and Latvia. We're awaiting troop numbers from the Pentagon, but we're told that about 1,000 U.S. troops will move from Italy and some F-35s will be moved into the Baltic states. Biden also announced sanctions to target Putin's cronies, oligarchs, and their families. He said it is just the first tranche, suggesting Putin can avoid more if he halts this invasion.
That's Fox's Jennifer Griffin reporting. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is canceling his meeting with Russia's foreign minister that was scheduled for this week due to the escalating tensions in Ukraine. Tomorrow marks exactly 2 years since Ahmaud Arbery was killed in southeast Georgia, and the three men convicted in state court in the death are now guilty of federal hate crime charges as well.
Arbery's mother, Wanda Cooper Jones, celebrated the convictions outside the federal courthouse, saying she knew this day would come, but they'll never get her son back.
We got a victory today. But it's so many families out there who don't get victories.
She pointed to the community in Glynn County and others from all across the country who made their voices heard throughout the whole ordeal, saying the justice would not be possible without them. Joe Daraskovich, 104.5 WOKV.
WOKV News Time is now 8:02. Coming up, more on our warming trend is in the full forecast, and then the start of the Chad Benson Show next.